Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to We Get Results. It's Tuesday, November 24th, 2015, and I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson. And if you haven't joined me before, We Get Results airs on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern, but is also archived for later listening. And my purpose is to discuss current challenges on the planet and connect listeners to ways they can make a difference, how we can make our voices heard and help others who need a hand up. Everyone can get results if they know how and where to connect to something that they're passionate about. We need to be the change we want to see in the world. We are the ones we've been waiting for. There's no one else coming. So I'm happy to be with you today, Thanksgiving week, and I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone that's listening. This week, we remember all of those who are hungry and don't have a warm home and won't be having Thanksgiving dinner with family and friends. So today, the program focuses on the wonderful organization Results, which I've been associated with for about 10 years. And Results is a volunteer citizens' lobby to create the political will to end hunger and poverty, because we could end hunger and poverty if we wanted to. We have the resources. So today we're going to talk with two staff members from Results. First, we're going to speak with Ken Patterson, who is the global results person, and Meredith Dodson after that, who is the domestic results person we're going to speak with. And she has a special guest with her also. So my first guest is Ken Patterson, and he's director of Global Grassroots Advocacy. He's celebrating the 10th year of working for Results, and he is an essential resource for the Global Grassroots Results Group. He supports more than 70 results chapters to create the political will to end poverty. And I just have to say that Ken gives so much assistance to our groups, and I thank him for all he does every day. So I'm going to say welcome to the program, Ken.
Hey, Mary. Happy to be here today, and I am absolutely thankful for you and all of the volunteers and results who make changing the world a whole lot easier.
Well, we get so much support from you and the D.C. Office of Results that it's unbelievable. I really have always been amazed at how much help there is, how people explain things so easily, how the Results website has everything on there that people need to work even from their computer or join a group. So I'm just very happy that you've joined us today. And I'm going to just, the only thing I'm going to say right now is that we also are waiting for World AIDS Day, which is December 1st, and World AIDS Day Detroit. For Detroit, you can go on and look for events there, and maybe Ken has some other information on World AIDS Day, I don't know, but we're going to have you discuss Results, what it's about, what global focuses we have, and action that people can take to really make a difference, because this is the place that I found that one person can make a difference more than anywhere else. So thanks again, Ken, and you can just let the listeners know everything you think they need to know.
Well, thanks a lot, Mary. I really appreciate that, and do feel free to ask some questions, too, as we go along here.
Okay.
And you mentioned, all that we do and all that with Results and the staff and all. I mean, for me, it is actually hard to stop, kind of, to some degree, to doing the work that we do and supporting our advocates to do what they do, because it is absolutely so effective. And when you see something working and you see progress being made, it's hard to say that, you've done enough. And so the volunteers and Results continue to inspire me to continue to support them in using their voices to make a difference in the world. And I'll give you a couple of examples today terms of what I'm talking about in terms of making a difference. This is my 10th year, as you mentioned. This is my 10th year working for Results. I actually started with Results as a volunteer several years before I started working for Results. But, in September of this year, a couple of amazing reports came out that just sort of kind of stopped me in my tracks thinking about my time with results. One was the UNICEF report that came out in September, and then the other one was the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria report that came out actually in October, last month. And the September report from UNICEF, just the top line items for me just were amazing. Basically, they stated that since the year 2000, that we have saved the lives of 48 million children under age 5. Since 2000, that is 48 million. And that number is just kind of unfathomable to some degree, 48 million kids. But then they also went on to say that, you know, we've actually cut preventable child deaths in half since 1990. So we've actually taken, some really grim statistics and cut them in half. And then on the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, which was founded in 2002, they noted that the Global Fund itself is responsible for saving about 17 million lives since 2002 from those three killer diseases. And so with 10 years' time and some of those dates kind of coinciding with when I got started, I've just kind of been, you know, kind of in reflection to some degree about the difference that we can make in the world. I know that results and our advocates, people like you, Mary, and other people around the country, have a strong hand in saving those lives. So we've been through multiple replenishment campaigns for the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, and we've, you know, been really active on making sure that the Global Fund is also being as effective as it can be. And then on maternal and child health and child survival, those numbers from UNICEF, we have been extremely active in that since the 1990s in increasing the amount of funding that the U.S. government and other governments around the world are contributing to these things, to focusing on the most effective interventions for saving kids' lives, and we've clearly had a hand in those. And so I think, you know, I was reflecting also a little bit on the idea of the greatest generation. Someone said to me not too long ago, you know, the people who are considered part of the greatest generation, and that's Tom Brokaw kind of coined that phrase about the people mm-hmm. who had lived through the Depression and essentially World War II, that many of them were going to be passing on, you know, that they're a lot of those folks are dying at this point. And it just made me think about, well, what does that mean for us today? At this generation or these generations today. And I thought, you know, we could actually be the greatest generation around ending poverty and diseases and child deaths and, you know, getting all kids in school, that, you know, mm-hmm. for the first time ever in history, for example, we could end preventable child deaths and create a world that no matter where a child is born, that they have the same chance of surviving and thriving as if they were born here.
Yes. That's so important.
Go ahead, Mary. What's that?
I just said that's so important and unbelievable that we actually can do this. You know, we need all hands on deck, though. We need to get more people involved, but yes, we can do it, and I see it. You know, you've got to see it before you can have it happen, and I see it happening with all the people that care. So what else do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. And so I think, again, I don't know, for me personally, I want to be a part of that greatest generation, and I think that anybody mm-hmm. who is, you know, 20 years old today, that they could have an absolutely different world by the time that they're, you know, 35 or 40 years old, and you mm-hmm. know, if they get involved now, and actually, if we really continue to drive this agenda. Like, and you kind of, you were alluding to something, Mary, that, you know, this is not going to happen on its own. So
right,
let me give you an example of sort of progress and sort of what needs to be done. A woman named Rebecca Nantanda was here several weeks ago. She's from Uganda. She is a pediatrician, and mm-hmm. she's actually the new president of the Uganda Pediatric Association. She is like an amazing woman doing research. She is an active pediatrician and also, you know, a mother. And while she was here, we talked about how in Uganda, 20 years ago, the child mortality rate in that country for children under age 5 was about, they were losing 150 children per 1,000 births. So 150 per 1,000 births. That's 15% of your kids.
Wow.
15%, that's losing 15% of your kids. And that today, they've actually cut that in half to around, you know, 70 child deaths per 1,000, which is an amazing improvement. That's a huge improvement, cutting that number in half. But that's mm-hmm. still losing 7%, you know, of your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And just to put that in perspective in terms of where we need to go to actually get to a point where we're, you know, we can call ourselves the greatest generation on child survival, that number, the 70, you know, children dying per 1,000 in Uganda, is still 10 times greater than it here is here in the United States. So mm-hmm. they're losing, you know, the numbers that they're losing kids is a rate 10 times greater than it here is in the United States. And I guess the somewhat shocking and embarrassing part about all that is that these kids, and it was amazing to hear Rebecca talk about these things, these kids are dying still from really fairly simple causes, things like infection that's caused during childbirth. And this is we're losing a lot of moms through this as well, but infections through childbirth, things that can be resolved with a birthing kit. Now, so you might ask, well, so, you know, what is that birthing kit, you know, include in that? Well, a birthing kit that would stem infection for, you know, a mother and a baby during the birthing process consists of a clean razor blade, a clean piece of cord to tie off the umbilical cord, a pair of gloves, plastic gloves, a bar of soap, and two simple plastic sheets, one for the mother as she's giving birth to lie on, and the other one to wrap the newborn baby. So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about in terms of, you know, why some of the kids are dying. Other things like, you know, the importance of exclusive breastfeeding during the first 6 months is absolutely critical, because a lot of families still don't have access to clean water, and so making sure that a baby whose system is and you know, antibodies is still developing has the best chance of, you know, warding off things like dysentery. You know, you want the mom to do exclusive breastfeeding for at least the first 6 months. And moms mm-hmm. don't always know that, and having a little bit of training and information to help them do that is important. Other things are really, again, fairly basic. Things like malaria that you can be prevented with a you know, insecticide-treated bed net. Pneumonia and measles were once big killers, and those are actually being pushed back right now from basic vaccinations that are now becoming available. There are people in rural areas that still need to have access to more of those things. But again, a lot of this is just about knowledge. I'll just share a couple of other anecdotes about what she talked about in terms of what's still taking kids. One of them, and they have what's called Helping Babies Breathe Project, the Helping Babies Breathe Project. So it used to be that when a baby was born and not breathing, that it was assumed that that baby was dead. And what we know from you know, interventions that we use here in the United States and other countries, actually, if you make sure that the baby's air path is cleared, you suction their nose, and you you warm that baby and maybe do some minor resuscitation-type efforts, that most babies born in that condition can actually start breathing. So some of this is just basic knowledge about how do you, what do you do after a child is born. So so this is the kind of stuff, you know, that still has Uganda's rate of child mortality 10 times higher than the United States. And as you might guess, Mary, and as you hear, and as our listeners hear, these are not, this is not rocket science. This is about training community healthcare workers and reaching people in sort of poorer and rural areas with some really basic interventions. And I guess I would say that there is, you know, in terms of putting us on this path of being the greatest generation on child survival, that we've got a huge opportunity right now. And that is with the two bills that we have helped introduce. It's the Reach Every Mother and Child Act. There's a version in the House of Representatives. There's a version in the Senate. And these bills basically are reform bills. They are about making sure that the tax dollars that the United States is investing in maternal and child health efforts are used in the best possible way. And the bill calls for a couple of specific reforms that I'll highlight. One is just basically having a clear plan for and a goal for ending preventable child deaths, and the date that's been put out there is 2035. It's to work with countries on scaling up evidence-based interventions and really openly tracking those investments and the progress made. And what we mean by that is that, you know, we look at the things that are taking kids' lives, some of the things I mentioned earlier, and making sure we're focusing our energies and efforts on those in partnership with the countries we're working with. To have a coordinator, someone who's in charge of all U.S. efforts on maternal and child health so that we avoid duplication and that we make sure that, you know, our efforts are the most strategic as possible, that we focused on the poorest and hardest to reach people, and that we're creative about how these things are financed, basically that we use our own investments and, you know, from in USAID and what our maternal and child health programs are to leverage other investments from host country governments and private enterprise and foundations. And so this bill is really an important step in putting us on the track to ending preventable maternal and child deaths by 2035. And there's a kind of a bit of urgency around this particular bill, which is what I'd like to call on the listeners to take some action on this in a second. But the reason that there's a bit of urgency around this is that these reforms have been started to be put in place already by our United States Agency for International Development, USAID, which is great. And this has been a priority for the Obama administration. The challenge is that we don't know that this will continue to be a priority for the next administration, whether it's a Republican administration or a Democrat administration. And the only way that we can ensure that this goal and these efforts and these reforms actually stick and stay in place and we stay focused on them with the next election cycle is to put them into law. And that's why we've introduced these bills. And the bills must be passed by the end of next year, and actually before a lot of the election 2016 hoo-ha that we're going to hear, there's going to be a lot of noise and a lot of distractions, and so we want to actually move these bills forward this year and then early next year so that we can actually move them towards passage and put some of these reforms into law. So here's what our listeners can do. Is to just call up your representatives and senators. It doesn't matter, you know, what party they're from. This is a nonpartisan issue. This is about, you know, helping families. This is about saving moms and kids, and about making sure that they have basic things that they need to ensure healthy children and healthy moms. And so what you want to do is I'm going to give you a couple of quick things. I'm going to give you a phone number where you can reach all of your members of Congress. There's one phone number. I've given this before, but this is something you should just have in your smartphone or your flip phone, whatever you use. But the number is for the Congressional Switchboard. It's 202-224-3121. I'm going to say that again. It's 202-224-3121. And what you're going to do is going to call that number. You're going to ask first for your representative from the Congressional Switchboard, and you're going to say something like this. You're going to say, you know, I'm calling to ask the representative to co-sponsor the Reach Every Mother and Child Act. Saving lives of moms and kids is a nonpartisan issue, and I want them to co-sponsor. The House bill number is 3706. And then they're going to do the same thing in the Senate, and the Senate bill number is 1911. So again, the House bill number is 3706, and the Senate bill number is 1911. So again, basically make a very quick phone call saying, you know, saving the lives of moms and kids is a nonpartisan issue. I'm calling to ask the representative or the senator to co-sponsor this bill, the REACH Act.
Mm-hmm. And mention that they're a constituent. And
yes,
give your information so you ask them to get back to you, don't you, Ken, to find out what the representative decided to do or not?
Yeah, I think that's an ideal way to sort of ensure that they're getting the message through to the representative or the senator. It's to say who you are, give them your name and your contact information, and ask them to get back with you. That would be sort of a nice add-on to that.
Mm-hmm. And what if they're not sure who their representative or their senators are, can you give the phone number, give the website for how they can find that?
Yes. If they go to the results website, it's www.results.org, and there's six tabs toward the top of the website. If they go under the Take Action tab and just click on the Take Action tab, ideally, they can click on the Global Poverty Actions and News drop-down from that. But just if you just click on the Action tab, off on the right-hand side of that page, you'll see a green box that says Research Your Members of Congress. You can find all of the contact information for your members of Congress there. And if you don't know who your member of Congress is, you can find that there too.
Yeah, that's great. It's really a very simple thing to do. The person that answers the phone, you can give the message to. You will not be talking to the representative or the senator, so you know way more than the person answering the phone usually does about the bill and everything else. So you just have to leave a message, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just leave a message, and the more people that call, the more the representatives and the senators will understand that this is an important issue to their constituents, and they're going to take a look at it because of your calls.
Yeah, and I think especially if it's within the next few days after something like this and you get, you know, several people calling or 10, 15 people calling, they usually will say, hey, I better ask my boss about this, right?
Absolutely. Once you get a few calls stacking up, they figure that anybody, if you get 5 or 10 calls even into an office a lot of times, they'll say, well, this is an issue that a number of people were willing to actually pick up the phone and call us about. I'm guessing it's important even to a whole lot more people, those who were thinking about it but didn't pick up the phone.
Right. Sounds good.
I'm very excited about this initiative. Again, I'm very excited about being a part of the Greatest Generation on Child Survival. And I just want to say I'm thankful for people like you, Mary, and others who are willing to step out and do something a little bit different to make a change in the world. When we do contact our elected officials, it really does matter. Over 10 years of time with results, I've seen it happen over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It does make a difference.
I've even had someone say, you elect us, and then you don't tell us what you want us to do. You abandon us. They don't all say that, but some of them do. And they really do want to know, you know, what you think. And it needs to be brought in front of them so they even know what's going on. And a lot of them will even ask, oh, will you get back to me on this, or whatever, that they really are interested in. We have the information. So looking on the results website will show you exactly what to do, and you'll get to even see how the different representatives and senators have voted on certain issues. And, you know, nowadays when the election comes up, there's no more voting for a Republican or a Democrat anymore. We have to look at their what they voted on, how they voted, their record, and really look into it before you click on who you want to represent you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to leave us with, Ken?
No, Mary, I think it's just a great time of year to take stock and to think about all that we do have and making sure that just other people have access to that. And if folks want to take deeper actions beyond the phone calls, there's a lot of guidance we can provide to you in Results. I'd encourage them to contact me at kpatterson@results.org. And again, the holidays is a great time for reflection and putting people into action.
Definitely. Well, thanks so much, Ken, for explaining everything so well, and I hope that everyone will you know, look for this link and actually pass it on to other people that might want to take action, because we need everybody right now. So thanks so much again, Ken, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Mary, and thanks for everybody who's listening and, again, willing to step out and make a difference.
Okay. Thanks, Ken.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was great. Ken always does such a good job of explaining everything. And so that was talking about the Results global actions and global focus, and Results work on domestic in the United States as well as global, both very important, both necessary. All children are our children, whether they're in the United States or worldwide. And so now we are going to go on to the domestic part of Results, and we have an expert coming on that has been, Meredith Dotson has been with the staff of Results since 1998, and she's the director of Results U.S. Poverty Campaign, working on overseeing Results legislative and coalition work on budget, tax policy, Head Start, child care, health reform, nutrition issues, and other U.S. anti-poverty initiatives. She's another one that helps us so much. She works directly with the Results Grassroots Network, training and supporting Results volunteers all over the country, and so much more. Meredith is such a wonderful resource and has aided the Grassroots Results Group immeasurably. So we say, Meredith, thanks for all you do for all of us. Are you there?
Yes, Mary, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And
Well, greetings from sunny Washington, D.C. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Is it sunny in Washington, D.C.?
It is.
How much snow do you have?
Absolutely none.
Whoa.
We're not in the up north, so I know we don't have the white stuff that y'all have up there. But
Well, normally I'm in Detroit, but I'm in Chicago with my daughter who just had twins, and we got about a foot of snow, and it was the most gorgeous snowfall you've ever seen. So the new twin boys got to see their first snowfall, and it was really beautiful. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for you, and I think you're going to have a special guest to also tell us some information. So I'm going to turn the program over to you. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Mary, and it's really a thrill to join you. I know Mary's got these two wonderful little grandbabies, and I appreciate, you know, it's such an example of the commitment of Results volunteers that they, someone like Mary takes time out from all the cuddling and helping out with family members as they are getting used to their new role as parents to be on the call today. And just to make sure folks understand what's happening in Washington and how they can actually impact the process. So thank you, Mary.
Welcome. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and this is a time of year where folks are really, there's a lot of attention on the families in our own communities across the country who are struggling. So just as a reminder, the Census Bureau puts out poverty figures on an annual basis, and they look at how many people are living below the poverty line, which is about 24,000 for a family of four. And the finding is that last year, one out of seven Americans and almost one out of five kids is living in a family that is below the poverty line. And then there's millions more who technically aren't below that threshold, but are very much in situations where they might be struggling to put food on the table, not just Thursday, but ongoingly. So that's really the focus of the work of Results Volunteers and allies across the country. We have 35 U.S. poverty chapters, and our big focus has actually been on tax policy, because tax policy is really critical to fighting poverty here in the United States. And in particular, there are some key tax credits, the earned income tax credit, and also a portion of the child tax credit that really serve a key role for families across the country. And last year, the Census Bureau estimated that those two tax credits combined lifted almost 10 million Americans above that poverty threshold, doing more than any other program except for Social Security. So while tax policy doesn't seem like it's the it's hard to connect the dots between that and poverty and hunger that we see in our community, it's very much related. Maybe, Mary, what I could do is do a quick update on what's happening right now in terms of taxes and opportunities, kind of what's happening, and then we can go with to Tiana, who can actually make it more real rather than just Washington, D.C. talk. So,
That's great.
So Congress is on recess this week. That just means that they're not in Washington, D.C., that members of Congress are back home. And then when they come back next week, they're trying to finalize a tax deal. And this is a tax deal that may make a bunch of business tax breaks permanent. And it's also an opportunity for them to prioritize working families by saving some really key pro-work provisions of both the earned income tax credit and child tax credit. These are provisions that are set to expire in a couple of years. If they do expire, 16 million Americans will fall into poverty or deeper into poverty. So these are really important tax credits for families, and these provisions make a huge difference. For instance, for a full-time mom working, a single mom working minimum wage could, if Congress doesn't act, could lose her entire child tax credit, which would be over $2,000. And that would make a big impact on those families.
Yeah.
So what I'd love to do is introduce Tiana Gaines-Turner from Philadelphia, who's part of the Results Experts on Poverty program, and she's also part of the Witnesses to Hunger program through the Center for Hunger-Free Communities. Tiana, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, Meredith. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Tiana.
Thank you for joining. So Tiana's, she's got a more formal bio, but just let me tell you how amazing she is. She's testified in front of Congress, specifically the House Budget Committee, when Representative Ryan, now the Speaker of the House, was the chair of that committee. She's spoken out in the media, certainly with members of Congress, and as I mentioned, she's part of the Experts on Poverty program. So these are folks we're training to raise their voices, kind of tell their own stories in different settings, like with members of Congress and the media and outreach events. Tiana is really an amazing advocate, an amazing storyteller. So, Tiana, do you want to talk a bit about your own experience and why you think tax policy, and specifically the earned income tax credit and child tax credit, why those are make a difference?
Yes, so thank you again, Meredith, for having me on as a guest, and thank you so much, Mary. I'm happy to be able to be on the call and be able to shine some light into the important topic that we're talking about as far as the tax credit goes. To me personally, I think it's very important for me to be able to take the information back to my community, but also to be able to tell my personal story on how, if this credit is cut, how we're deepening, deepen poverty for so many, but also for so many Americans who are already vulnerable to different cuts that is going on right now. So I know personally, when I'm struggling and I'm having hard times paying my bills or just even putting food on the table for my family, we look forward to the EITC that comes up during tax year. It helps us to be able to pay off some debt that we might have as far as our bills, our rent, and things like that. So I feel like a lot of people don't understand why these certain bills are important, but they have to understand that behind the numbers and the facts, these are human lives and people who will be affected if this cut goes through.
Yeah, so thank you for that reminder, especially since this is such a critical time, again, because they're finalizing these, making some decisions on tax policy. And obviously tax policy is not the only way that government policy impacts and programs impact poverty across the country. And since this is a week that many focus on hunger issues, Tiana, could you talk a little bit about some of the nutrition programs and the role that they play in with families and communities and there in Philadelphia?
Sure. So I always try to make sure that people and the listeners understand that you can't talk about one branch of hunger and poverty without talking about all of them together. They all fall underneath the same umbrella. So if we're talking about EITC and CTC, then we also need to talk about SNAP and TANAs, the Heat and Eat programs, LIHEAP, school breakfast, school lunch, you know, safe and affordable housing. All of those things fall underneath the same credit. And it's so easy for, you know, me, my family, and for others, if you're already vulnerable and you're already struggling so hard to try to make ends meet, for you to be able to fall through the safety net in which we have, because let's just be honest, the safety net that we have has giant holes already in it. And I think that it's very important that we shine light on this topic, not just this week, but for 365 days out the year, mm-hmm. because as you said, Thanksgiving is this Thursday, but people have to remember those who live in poverty and struggle with hunger, such as myself and many Americans, you know, Thanksgiving comes once a year. Our struggle is every day. So, you know, we have to make sure that we do our due diligence to pay attention to the EITC, CTC, SNAP, the Farm Bill, and all of the other many things that, you know, comes up, you know, that's on the chopping block right now.
Yeah, and I know Tiana and many others were very active in fighting back against cuts to SNAP as a part of the last Farm Bill. That's legislation that comes up in Congress every 5 years, and in the last bill that was passed in early 2014, they passed at the time, it was almost estimated to be $9 billion worth of cuts to SNAP, the food stamp program. So I know, and we're very concerned about, you know, some of the possibilities that Congress, probably not next year, but the year after the election, we could see some proposals to not only dramatically cut, but restructure the SNAP program in a way that it might not be able to respond in the next time we hit a recession. So it's important. I absolutely agree, Tiana. These issues are so connected, and it's important to understand how what a role they play in people's lives across the country. So, Tiana, anything you would want to say about kind of sharing your story with policymakers and the media, anything? Because there might be some other folks who they themselves have their own stories and they're looking for ways to kind of make a difference and share their expertise with key decision makers.
I would like for everybody to understand that there's no story that is the wrong story. That we have to make sure that we inform policymakers and, you know, just local people on the struggles around hunger and poverty. I think that it's very important that we not lose the sight of all the different programs, whether they're trying to cut it today or tomorrow or next year. We have to make sure that advocates and that we stand up when we tell our stories and that we help people to understand that, you know, what's going on right now in our own personal lives, but maybe we may have a success story of how we were once in poverty and we were on these programs and how they helped us to climb out of poverty. But we also have to make sure that we include those who are affected by these programs if they're going to be cut. We have to make sure that at any time when there is anything that is going on, whether the House, the Senate, or any, you know, any form of government, whether it be local government or whether it be on, you know, on a higher level, that we make sure that we have someone at the table who knows these programs firsthand, who is, you know, as you say, Meredith, an expert on poverty. And if you need further information on these programs for any of your listeners and they want to find out more about hunger and poverty and the different programs that we cover, please look us up. Please look at, you know, the website for results or the Center for Hunger for Communities. We will be glad to talk to you and help you to understand how you can be an advocate, how you can speak out, or how you can even connect with your local government to make sure that they understand that your voices count.
Yeah, that's a great point. And if folks specifically want to find out more about the Experts on Poverty program and other ways that other powerful folks, we have a cohort of 15 people that were at our conference in D.C., got some training and been doing some amazing work in communities across the country, you can learn more about it at our website at results.org. And sign up for more information with an upcoming introductory call where you can learn more about ways, whether or not you have your own story, ways you can engage in that kind of advocacy of directly communicating with policymakers, the media, et cetera. So, Mary, what I'd like to do is emphasize a key thing that folks could do to take action and shape the debate, especially, as I mentioned, you know, they're going to be finalizing, they could be all done with a major tax deal, and we need to make sure that families who are struggling to make ends meet aren't left out in the cold. So, so if you go to results.org, in the top right, there's a take action box. You can click on that, and in 30 seconds, you can send an email to a member of Congress telling them that protecting and strengthening these really important tax credits, that saving these provisions is your top priority in terms of taxes. So again, at results.org, you can do that. Also, if you click on the blog link at the top of results.org, you can find out how you can amplify your message in local media. So results volunteers have been speaking out about the importance of these working family tax credits in the media. They've had 71 pieces of media published across the country, and we're doing one last push. So we do have a template you can tailor, and as you can hear from Tiana, kind of including how this impacts you or people you know in your community makes it even more powerful. So those are two things that people in the midst of, you know, preparing for the holidays, even quick actions you can take that can make a big impact on what Congress is doing. So, and then I want to emphasize also that Tiana and our other experts on poverty will be offering a few quick tips on how to tell their stories on our next Results National webinar on Saturday, December 12th at 12:30 Eastern Time, and then doing a special training that following Monday, December 14th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can be in touch with us if you want to find out the details of how to join that. Again, people like Tiana are really the experts, and we need to make sure that their voice, the decision makers are hearing directly from them and that their voices are a part of this debate, a central part of conversations about poverty and hunger. So, Tiana, anything else you want to add before we close out this session?
Yes, I just would like to encourage those that if you have a story, that it is important for you to tell it. If you don't want to put your name to it, that's fine. I do understand. But reach out through an op-ed. You can write your own personal story. You can do what we're doing right now, a podcast. However way that you can use, you know, social media or your writing skills, poetry, writing, anything that it might have that you can reach out and help, you know, this fight that we have, that we can all work together, combine, to make sure that your conversation is important, that they understand that you are important, and that these programs help so many people across the globe. And, you know, please join our national call. As Meredith gave out the information on our results website, you can find that information. And just please, you know, feel free to join us. And, you know, that's stand together, united. Make sure we let people know that we're not going anywhere and that these programs do work.
Yes,
exactly. I can't even add to that, Mary, because Tiana is just such an amazing advocate. So
thanks so much
for including us on today's Weekend Results Show.
Well, thank you so much for being on the call. I think that people probably don't even realize how easy it is to do these actions, to just call and make a phone call and leave a message. It's really not difficult. Results gives you a little couple lines of things to say. You don't have to worry about what you want to say. Everything is, you know, put out there for you. And I hope that people will go on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and get the link to the show and pass it around, email, put it on Facebook, whatever, so that more people will hear about results. I think sometimes it's been said that results is one of the best kept secrets around. The lawmakers feel like this is one of the best ways to get them to do things that need to be done. And we just need to put it out there further because, like we said with Ken, just a few calls or emails, you know, to their office, let them know that we care about those things. And we're their boss. We have to know that they have to know that we're the ones that give them their job and we're the ones that could vote them out. So they need to respond to us, and it's very important. And one person can make a difference. All children are our children, not just our biological children, not just the children in the United States. There's really no borders. You know, we're one world of global citizens, and we need to care about everyone. And we can think about that more when we're being grateful for all we have on Thanksgiving. So thank you again for all you do, Meredith. Thanks, Kiana, for sharing. And I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And if I can just put one more last, we need to make sure that we also support the bill that's coming up on 3706. We need to make sure that we support that bill and make sure that we all get the information out there. Thank you so much for having me on the call. I appreciate it. Happy Turkey Day.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving to you and you, Meredith, and all your family. And we'll talk soon again, I'm sure, Meredith. Thank you.
All right. Take care, everyone. Happy holidays and happy advocacy.
Yes. Thank
take
you.
Care.
Thanks
happy
a lot.
Happy day and happy holidays.
Okay. All right. So you've heard about what Results is all about. You've heard about domestic. You've heard about global. If you want to have more information, obviously go to the Results website, www.results.org. There's also a Facebook page. If you want information on global issues, email Ken Patterson at kpatterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, at results.org. Meredith Dotson at, it's either M. Dotson or Dotson at results.org. I think either one, possibly. I think it's just Dotson, D-O-D-S-O-N. And look up World AIDS Day if you want to get involved and see what's happening in Detroit. www.wadd.org. And my email is malbertson05 at aol.com. Also look on the Results website for our wonderful international conference that will come up this summer. We have people speaking to us like Dr. Jim Kim, President of the World Bank, Professor Muhammad Yunus, Nobel laureate and father of microfinance. We have just a fabulous time, and we go to the Hill and we lobby all the congressional offices to try to create the political will to end hunger and poverty, because I don't like the word try. We will do that. We are doing that. So thank you all for joining me today. I think that's the only other information I wanted to give you. And please let me know if you have any questions. You can join the webinar on the second Saturday of the month. It's 12:30 domestic and 2 o'clock global. So check the website and have a wonderful Thanksgiving and the rest of the holiday season. I appreciate you listening, and I hope you will join us and take action to end hunger and poverty. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.